Continuing our thoughts in the book of Galatians, and this morning we're picking up a little bit from last week about serving the Lord, about loving each other and fulfilling the law. The book of Galatians is dealing with the law and fulfilling the law, and the Lord came not to cancel the law or to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And He demonstrated that fulfilling of the law by the way He loved us and by the way He served us. And we can fulfill the law in the same way in our relationships with each other. We need to care about each other, and we need to respond to each other's needs. I just think about when love isn't working, there's dissension and division and stress. I'm thinking about Paul and Barnabas and Peter, all having good fellowship, and then when the lawgiver, so to speak, from Jerusalem came down, Peter said, "Hey, I got to get over here on this side of the fence." So much so that it affected Barnabas. Barnabas was working together, and it created some division, and Paul dealt with it kind of sternly, but he dealt with it, that it needed to, that this shouldn't happen. And that's what he's doing here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. I'm going to read that. He says, "For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." One of the problems about the liberties that we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ, it causes us to say that we can leave some things undone. And those things that we leave undone have to do with our brother sometime. When I was thinking about the thoughts this morning, or the lesson this morning, I was thinking about the way the scribes and the Pharisees operated when it came to being obedient to the commandments. And in Matthew chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." You know, you curse your parents, you're stoned to death. That's the death he's talking about, physical death. And so, verse 5, he continues, and he says, "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me," that is, to help him financially, "and honor not your father or his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." What this verse is saying is that God has made, it's got commandments, and you figured out a way that you don't have to keep them. And what you can say is, "Well, this money I have in my pocket, they would help my mom and dad. Oh, this is a special offering for God. And so therefore, I don't have to help them financially." So you skirt around the law with your liberty, and you're making liberty or taking liberties that you shouldn't take. Okay? So that can happen. And sometimes liberties cause us to respond to our flesh, our fleshly desires. When I think about the law was given to control our flesh, basically speaking, because our flesh wants to steal and to lie and to cheat and to commit all kinds of immoral things. Why? Because it's fun and it's profitable, temporarily, of course, all of this. But the law is, in other words, we fulfill the law and we control ourselves by loving our neighbors ourselves. If we love our neighbors ourselves, we're not going to fulfill the lust of our flesh toward our neighbor. We're not going to treat him mean. We're not going to take things from him. And so that's what is being said in verses 13 and 14. Use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh. By love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And by the way, it takes grace to do that. And Paul, in verses just before this, says that if you're trying to fulfill the law, you're falling from grace. In other words, you're not serving your neighbor. You're not serving the Lord in love. Now, we're to love in deed, not in word. I think when I was reading this passage in Matthew, they were, so to speak, loving in word, not in deed. They had figured out a way to beat the system. And it seems like that a lot of Christians today are trying to beat the system. They don't want to love and to care for each other like they should. But here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, but it says, "But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion on him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And I was thinking, let me just stop there. I was thinking about this passage of Scripture where it says, "How dwelleth the love of God in him?" This is not my love for God. This is God's love for me. If I can't respond to the needs of my brother or sister, how can God love me? That's what this is saying. How can God love you when you can't love somebody you can see? We can't see God, and so therefore the commandment is to love the Lord with all of our heart. We can't see Him, but we need to respond to those who we can see. But anyway, how dwelleth the love of God in Him? It doesn't. He goes on, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." How do we know that we are of the truth? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The Holy Spirit is the one who comes and teaches the truth, which are good things to come, having to do with the kingdom. Part of growing in kingdom truth is responding to a brother. In fact, Matthew 25 talks about ministering to the least of these, my brethren. And brethren are those who are seeking to enter the kingdom. And so, when we think about responding to the needs of a brother, we are ministering to the Lord. And if we're ministering to Him, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, "God's not going to be unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister." He's not going to forget that. But we can also know that we are of the truth, that we are making progress as far as standing in His presence approved and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom. If we're sensitive to other people's needs, that will assure our hearts. That will give us some encouragement. Let me tell you, seeking to rule and reign and to stand in His presence is not easy to do. It means persecution. It means rejection. It means not being in the big group. In other words, you're not going to have a lot of people that want to hear that it does make a difference how you live. All they want to hear is, "I'm saved and I've got the whole pie in the sky and I don't have to worry about a thing." That's not true. The Word of God is very plain that it does make a difference how you live. And God will honor the faithful and those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. So, we want to have our hearts assured before Him. And we do that by ministering to each other. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honoring, preferring one another. Part of brotherly kindness and ministering to each other has to do with preferring one another. Not always wanting to be first. I was looking at another translation about the word affection. They translated, be devoted one to another. Kindly affectioned seems a little soft, but being devoted, that means you're committed to each other. Not, warm and fuzzy kind of affection. We need to be committed to each other, devoted to each other, and in honor preferring one another. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another. Why? To provoke unto love and to good works. Part of our ministry is considering one another. Does that mean that I've got to observe you and you've got to observe me? Because that's what it means to consider. And why am I considering you? I want to provoke you. Not to anger or road rage. I want to provoke you to love and good works. Love the brethren. Love your neighbor. And to good works. In other words, not in word only, but in word and in what? Deeds. Now, 1 Peter says, don't use your liberty as a cloak. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. As free, in other words, we're free. We've been called unto liberty. We're free. We're children of the free. We're to be associated with Isaac, according to Galatians chapter 4. It says, as free and not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brethren. It says brotherhood, but it's really brethren. Love the brethren. And to fear God and honor the king. The word honor in this verse can be translated value. In other words, value the king. Value all. In other words, we're all worth something. We're all not worthless in the sight of God. We are worth something, and we need to value them. And we need to love the brethren. And I tell you, there are times when it takes the fear of God to do that. We're not always lovely, are we? We have good days and bad days, just like our hair days, There are good ones and bad ones. So, but anyway, it takes the fear of God, and it takes grace to do that. Now, in Galatians 5, verse 15, it says, but ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. In other words, Paul is saying, don't live like animals. It's really what animals do, don't they? They bite and devour each other. This passage of Scripture says, quit devouring a brother. You're supposed to be building up a brother. You're supposed to be serving a brother and not serving him on a platter that you can bite. In other words, devour. I guess that's kind of twisting it in there. But anyway, this is one of the things that can happen with doctrine. It causes division and strife. And we're not to let that happen. Now, we are to deal with false doctrine. There's no question about it. And deal with it not harshly, but sternly. and decisively. And if a man creates division, what are we supposed to be doing with that individual? He's to be excused. He is to be allowed to leave. And we've done that here from time to time. But we're not interested in devouring one another. The law and grace, and the emphasis on the law and the keeping of the letter of the law and grace and the grace of God created division in the church in Galatia. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18 is a good verse for us to consider. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. So what does it mean to love thy neighbor? Well, first of all, you don't get even with your neighbor. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, that's hard to do. But we're not to avenge. We're not to have any grudge. We're not to be angry with our neighbors. And a grudge is something that, it's not just anger, it's something that works on you, isn't it? A grudge is something that grinds and grinds and grinds. And you know what it does to the lining of your stomach? It just simply eats it away. Next thing you know, your stomach hurts and you got a knot and the acid won't go away. We're to grudge not against each other. Don't hold grudges. But love your neighbor. Serve your neighbor with love. You know what? When you're serving, you're not going to have time for grudging. When you're serving, you're not going to have time for avenging. In fact, the scriptures teach us to heap coals of fire on our enemy's head, right? Well, how do we do that? Give him something to drink and give him something to eat. Not literally heaping coals of fire on our enemy's head. We're to minister to our enemies. And then the Lord is the one who'll shovel the coal. I guess that's the way you can look at it. But anyway, so loving our neighbor will keep us from avenging and bearing grudges against them. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 14 and 15. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, not sons, but mature children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Well, if a church or a body of believers is murmuring and disputing and biting and devouring one another, you know what? We're not going to have a testimony of being blameless. We're not going to have a testimony of being harmless. We're not going to have a testimony of being mature, acting like a bunch of kids. In fact, carnal kids, fleshly kids. They'll be able to rebuke us because of our behavior. And let me tell you, we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation or perverse nation. And they need a testimony. But what's happening in the church today is really not hindering or giving a very good, clear testimony to the world around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul rebukes the church at Corinth about divisions. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together." The word "perfectly joined together" is one word in the Greek text, and it means to be made complete, in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that we all have to agree on everything in doctrine, but one thing that we need to all agree on is that there should be no bickering, division in our midst. We may have differences of views on different passages of Scripture, but it should not create an issue. It should not create a division. It should not create stress in our fellowship. And we should not be stressed over somebody having a different view. You know, that's just something that doesn't bother me. Used to, but it doesn't anymore. And because I know that there are going to be varying degrees, and eventually everybody's going to believe what I believe anyway. No. Anyway, we need to be complete and of the same mind. We need to care about each other, not tear each other down. Okay? That's the whole idea. Because Paul rebuked them about being carnal in chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, fleshly. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Carnality is walking like a man. And we need to walk in heavenly places. And I'm just thinking about envy and strife and divisions having to do with doctrine, is that we envy someone who is more popular than we are. And I've been there. I've had that happen. And it creates strife when we have envy that somebody is, you know, I just think about people who have money, denominations who have piles of money. And we have to watch and pray for ours. They don't. Seems like to me. But anyway, envying, it creates strife and it creates division. And we should not allow that to happen in our lives. So we need to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There won't be divisions. There won't be biting, devouring each other. The works of the flesh will be put on the back, or will be done away with, and we'll be able to serve each other in love. And walking in this Spirit, I do not believe is the Holy Spirit. I cannot relate to walking in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit indwells me. I know that the Holy Spirit provides peace at times, and it also provides motivation to do things like buy airline tickets, things like that. I know that the Holy Spirit does move in our hearts and lives. But what is more meaningful to me is that this Spirit that he's talking about in the book of Galatians, that I can get my spiritual teeth into, is the Spirit that the Son of God had. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because ye are sons, or because ye endure as sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. The walking in the Spirit is walking in the Abba Spirit. What is the Abba Spirit? The Abba Spirit is is found in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. That's the desire of the flesh. I'm not saying that Jesus Christ was in the flesh, but he didn't want to have to go, he did not want what was going to have to happen. And yet what he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That's the Abba Spirit. You live like that, you're not going to be worried about the divisions in the fellowship or somebody being over you or ahead of you. And so that's the Spirit. Now the evidence of that Spirit, I believe, is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And we'll be going back to this from time to time because we need this over. We need this repeated. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. I know that I'm walking in this Spirit when I have love for His Word, for the brethren, for my neighbor, I can experience this. I know when I'm caring about those in the brethren or in the fellowship and my neighbor. A fruit of the Spirit, the Abba Spirit, is joy. Well, what joy? It's the joy of the hope of glory. Do I still have the hope of glory? Is there joy in my heart anticipating the glory of the coming kingdom? I can relate to that. Is there peace that passes all understanding in my life? Or am I always being anxious about things? When we're anxious about things, the Abba Spirit's not working. We're not being led we're not walking in that Spirit. Long suffering, that has to do with patience. Gentleness is also translated kindness. Also goodness. That's beneficial. The word, in other words, it can be translated beneficial. From a word translated benefit. It's also translated that way. In other words, am I a hindrance or am I beneficial to the fellowship or to those around me? That's what I associate with goodness. Faith. Well, I can't put faith in a basket, though it is a noun, but I can demonstrate faithfulness. That's a fruit that I can demonstrate. And you can see faithfulness in my life, and I can see faithfulness in your life. So part of the fruit of that Spirit is faith or faithfulness. Meekness, temperance, we could go on. I think of meekness as the meekness is that I'm teachable. Come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. There are different things that we could talk about that, about meekness. But we are to walk worthy of the Lord, Ephesians 4:1-3. And the walk with the Lord is with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Is that what we've been talking about? Absolutely. That's exactly what we've been talking about. And you know what? That's a worthy walk. We are walking worthy of the calling where we've been called. If we are walking this way, we're going to stand approved and enter into the calling. Colossians also talk about the elect. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These are all fruits of the Spirit, this Abba Spirit. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the glue of perfection or completion. Love is the glue. Love is the catalyst. Which we'll see in Galatians 5:6. So, love is the glue of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And then, lastly, love can make the difference. 1 Peter 4:7-9, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer. And above all things, notice where it's placed. Above all things. The Lord's coming. He's close. And we need to be watching and praying. And above all things, we need to love fervently. Where? Among ourselves. Not our families, but among ourselves. For love covereth what? A multitude of sins. And we sure need that. I need it. I need to have a little covering called love. Okay? Because I know I don't do everything right. I don't punch all the buttons correct. No, I know that's not a sin, but anyway, I know I stumble. And then it says, use hospitality one toward another without grudging. Isn't that something? If you're in a grudge, are you going to invite anybody over for dinner? No. So you got to get rid of the grudges, got to get rid of the backbiting and the biting and the devouring, and have somebody over for supper or lunch or whatever. And again, faith which worketh by love. You want to please God? You got to love. And love means service. Serving who? each other and your neighbor. May the Lord help us to apply these thoughts this morning, because when we think about the works of the flesh, that's not a very good line of thinking, but it's needful. Paul brings it out, and he gives a big list because it has to do with your inheritance, and we'll talk about that next Sunday. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the word to each of our hearts this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we pray you'd help us to have the fruit of the Spirit that would bring blessing to other people around us, and that we would not bite and devour each other, but that we might serve each other with love, being kind and compassionate and considerate and observing and provoking to love and to good works. There's so much here, Lord. We just pray you'd help us to assimilate it and to apply it in our lives toward each other. Because truly we want you to love us, and we just pray that you would help us to serve you. For these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.